Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Cook and Joe Show. Starkey has the week off. I'm Ron Cook talking sports with you and expect to be joined momentarily by former Steelers nose tackle Chris Hoke, who is going to be a regular on our show this year as he was last year. He's going to be coming in studio every Thursday at 11 o'clock, and we love it. Chris, good morning. How are you today?
Oh, Cookie, man, it's great to be on with you, my friend.
Well, we're looking forward to another season with you, and as you well know, there's never a dull moment around here, is there?
I'll tell you what, you keep everybody on their toes, and I look forward to coming on with you guys and just breaking down the Steelers, talking about what's going on with the team, breaking down the game from the previous week, and looking forward to the next one. It's always a great time.
Well, unfortunately, we got to start on a sad note with the Steelers with the passing of the coach, Daryl Drake, on Sunday. And, Hokie, I don't believe you were ever a part of anything like that as a player. I can't remember it happening here like this. It just has to be just so brutal for the players and coaches.
It's brutal. You know, he's been here for such a short time, but his impact has been immeasurable. It's priceless. And you look at the guys and you look at how they're reacting. You know that this was a very loved man, not only a coach of the game of football, but really a coach for life and of life for these young men on that team. And listen, it hits you so hard. And there is no roadmap. There's no book. There's no blueprint on how to deal with grief, on how to deal with death. And right now they're going through it in a very public way. And that's very difficult as well, because usually when you're grieving and you're going through this process, you get to do it in some sort of privacy. But this is being played out in the public arena, and that makes it even more difficult.
You know, Hokie, you were one of the people I thought about when I heard this Sunday. I mean, I know how close you are to John Mitchell. I mean, could you imagine being in that room and if something would have happened to him? How do you pick up the pieces after that? And I guess getting back on the field has to be something of a relief to get back to normalcy, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. And it's funny you bring that up, Cookie, because I was talking to my wife about this last night. And I said, I don't know how I would have reacted if this happened to Coach Mitchell when I was playing. Because Coach Mitchell is a father figure to me. He is, next to my father, one of the greatest men I know. And I love that man. And so it would have devastated me, and it would have been very difficult to pick up the pieces and go forward, which these men are having to do now. And like I said, it's just, everybody deals with death differently. Everybody grieves differently. And also depends on, you know, the closeness you were to the individual and those circumstances. So some of these individuals are going to grieve longer and harder than others. And I love how the Steelers are right there to support him. They're bringing in counselors, therapists, Coach Tomlin, you know, just hearing about how he's been able to put his arm around and love up these players as he is grieving himself. It's going to bring these players together. And this whole Steeler organization together and make them stronger.
Hokie, you know the reality of life is that life goes on, the game goes on. Somebody's got to come in here and coach these wide receivers, and it's going to be tough to jump on a moving train, isn't it? But yet I think it's a really important hire for Mike Tomlin, whether it's Ray Sherman or somebody else.
Yeah, it's a difficult time because you have a guy coming in and there was a certain way of doing things the guys are used to. I remember a couple of times just, you know, talking about that situation, a new guy coming in when Mitch would miss during OTAs or he'd miss a practice here or there because someone was back or just a family situation. Over my 11 years, he missed a practice or two, maybe once or twice. And it's really odd because you're so used to doing things a certain way. We're creatures of habit. And if those habits aren't continually fed, as an NFL player, as a professional athlete, you feel off your game a little bit. So they're going to go through that. There is going to be a little awkwardness, if you will, for Juju and for these receivers that have been with Coach Drake for a while. because they're used to doing things one way, and a new guy's going to come in, and although he's going to fall right in with how the team's, you know, with the plays and everything else going on, he will have a different way of communicating. He will have a different way of interacting with the players. He'll have a different, he'll have different drills that he thinks are important. So it's going to be a transition period for everybody, not only in terms of emotionally and mentally, but also the professional part on the field.
Chris Hoke, my guest here. Chris, you're going to be doing some stuff with KDK again this year, are you not?
Absolutely, yeah. Bob Pompeiani and I will be doing the post-game show again for 2 hours after the game. The first hour, just breaking down the game and analyzing it. And the second hour, we'll be talking about taking your phone calls and trying to respond the best we can to your excitements and your worries.
Well, I'm going to ask you to do that with game one here that we just watched on Friday night. What was your initial takeaway watching Steelers-Tampa Bay the other night?
You know what? I was impressed. You know, I was a little nervous because, as I've seen, a lot of guys miss practice. And let's be honest, I think 90% of the starters didn't even play. But I was nervous with the lack of practice reps that this team might struggle in this first game. And defensively, they got a lot of work to do. You know, you saw the first team offense, the Buccaneers, move the ball up and down the field. But again, looking at it, the Bucs had a lot of their starters in there, and the Steelers had a lot of their backups. But if you cut, I want to talk about a couple guys that stood out to me. It's the ones that everybody's talking about right now. I mean, you look at Devin Bush, and it was unbelievable. I mean, I took my boy, who was a linebacker in high school, and made him watch the tape again. I said, this is how you play football, son. I mean, this guy was lining up. He was instinctive. He played confident. He played fast, made play after play the way an inside linebacker should. I mean, this is going to be a special player for the Steelers, Devin Bush. And then look at the other side of the ball. And, again, James Washington, let's hope that he can continue this development and not just be an August-type player. But, you know, the Steelers are going to need him to step up and make catches like he did and get open like he did in that game. And all around, I thought the Steelers, it was a positive step forward. I still want to see some of these starters get in there and make sure they're getting their snaps because, yeah, they're seasoned veterans, but they need to make sure that they are getting those snaps. The team changes every year. There's new players in there every year, and they need to create that the camaraderie, that rhythm, and the routine that they need to get with each unit.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, Chris, and I know you. You love to play in the exhibition games because that was your chance to, you know, you were fighting to make the team most years, and you took advantage of your playing time. If you're a coach, do you walk that line between we don't want to get our guys hurt in an exhibition game, yet we don't want them to be, you know, flat coming into the regular season because they didn't get enough work? How do you walk that line?
It's a fine line, and it's you just got to go through it, and Coach Tomlin's got to be really in tune with his players. I mean, I was that player where I noticed the difference, Cookie. When I played in that first year of the new CBA back in the 2011 season, and when we had less practice, less reps, and that was a very difficult preseason for me. I'm a rep guy. I need all the reps I can get. I need all the practice snaps, all the game snaps I can get in the preseason to get me ready for the season. That's just me as an individual. Not everybody's the same. So I just think in the last couple of days, you know, with just the lack of reps that some of these guys are getting, that would have been very difficult for me. And you'll see some guys that don't need them, but I think a lot of guys, what you're going to see is the backups and the guys trying to make the team. I worry about some of the development, and this is across the NFL. It's not the Steelers. It's across the NFL with the lack of reps. I worry about the development of some of the guys that are the Chris Hokes out there that barely make the team as the 53-and-a-half guy of their rookie year and that could turn this thing into a career, but now with the lack of reps, they'll never get a chance.
What did you think of the quarterbacks? Tomlin praised all three, Rudolph, Dobbs, and I guess Duck Dynasty, Devlin Hodges. What did you think of the way they performed?
I was impressed. You know, you've been watching them on the practice field. You've been hearing the reports and, you know, seeing it all. They've been up and down throughout the first 2 weeks of training camp, and they come in. I thought that they played well. I thought that Josh Dobbs made some good throws. I think he had some throws he wished he could have back. Looked really good with his legs, you know, getting that long 30-plus yard run. So I really liked what I saw from Josh Dobbs, and Mason Rudolph looked to me like he's made a big jump from year one to year two. He looks like he's going to continue to develop into a prototypical type starting quarterback in the NFL if he continues to develop the way that he's developing. I mean, what really impressed me is the touchdown throw he threw to Zach Gentry. and the time that he took and his progressions, and he went through all the progressions and he found him in the back of the end zone and threw it high. He threw it somewhere where only Zach could catch it. To me, that was a show of his growth and his development as an NFL quarterback.
You know, everybody was raving, and you mentioned Devin Bush, first of all. How about this Gilbert kid, Ulysses Gilbert? I think, what did Tomlin call him the other day? Yes, Ulysses
Grant.
I said it was a little bit of a slip, but the Gilbert kid, and I know it's a fourth quarter against reserves, but 1.5 sacks, a strip sack, and intercepted that two-point conversion. Man, that's getting your performance on tape, isn't it?
There's no question about it. Listen, yes, he was going against inferior talent compared to who Justin Lane was going against in the first quarter. He was thrown into the fire against the starters. Would Gilbert have played as well as he played in the fourth quarter in the first quarter? Who knows? But what he's done is he has guaranteed him more snaps. He's caught the eye of the coaches, and now they're saying, can he do it in the second quarter? Can he do it in the third quarter? So I believe that you'll start seeing him taking some snaps earlier in the game to see if he's really that good, or if he's just praying on the week. And we'll find that out here real soon. But he caught the coach's eyes, and that's what you have to do. In order to make a 53-man roster, there's two things. You can't make mental mistakes, and you've got to do something to show the coaches that you have value to the team, and that's getting strip sacks and getting big-time tackles is one way to do it.
Another guy under the gun is Chris Boswell, made two kicks, 33 and 47. I think the other kid had one too, Matthew Wright. Boy, Boswell has to come back and play better than he did last year, doesn't he?
I agree, Cookie. I mean, listen, he will. Here, I really see this thing as it's kind of like a boxer, right? You're standing in the middle of a ring, you get punched in the face, and then you try to recover, and then you get punched in the face again, and you're out of it. You're just in a daze, and you can't recover. I think Boswell missing that kick in the Cleveland game, and really that because the reason why the Steelers lost, they would have won with that kick. And then missing the one a week or two later, he was just unstable and lacked his confidence, went down the drain, and could not recover the whole year. I think with a season off, with the practicing, I'm sure talking to a sports psychologist, getting himself right. I really look for a strong rebound year for Chris Boswell and getting back on track to where he was before last season.
Chris, before I let you go, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Antonio Brown circus that has moved from Pittsburgh to Oakland, helmet gate, frostbitten feet. And, you know, I suppose you know how important your feet are to you as an athlete. We're joking about it, but I don't think it's a laughing matter that he has this kind of injury, is it?
No, listen, I mean, if you got blisters all over your feet, I remember – 1 year at the training camp, I had my toes stepped on and both of them. And I had my nails or my big toes, both nails were removed in the middle of training camp. And I had to I tried to get fiberglass molded over the top of my cleats and all this crazy stuff because you're so worried about your feet. Your feet are so critical to everything you do in football. And so, yeah, it's important. It just goes to show you a lot of times a fresh environment, a new environment doesn't change really what the outcome is. And over the last couple of years, as great as a talent as Antonio has been, he's been just as great of a distraction. And that's the concern out there in Oakland is he can continue to be a distraction. And if they lose, which the chances are they're gonna lose this year, how is he going to react? What's that locker room going to be like? How is he going to respond? Is he going to become a greater distraction than he's been just to this point?
Everybody's talking about a different attitude at Steelers camp, Hokie. Have you seen that up there, more businesslike, more focused, and not the drama that dogged this team the last couple of years?
Yeah, I have. You feel different. You talk to the coaches. They notice it. Guys are there coming to practice now. There's no screwing around. There's a complete and total focus. They're singly focused on this season. And a lot of that is, you know, you get guys that are out of there. There's not a lot of the drama going on. Where's Le'Veon Bell? What's going to happen? The media circus that takes place. What AB brings to the game in terms of his distractions that he brought to the team. But also, they have something to prove. I really think that they know that people are counting them out. And people are saying they're not going to win the division. They're not going to do well this year. And when people count you out and they back you in a corner like the media has and everybody has, you have something to prove, and that rallies the troops and brings everybody closer together and gives them a greater purpose.
I'm not buying this Cleveland hype, are you?
I don't know. I think they've got a very talented group. They're gonna do some great things this year. I just don't think they can beat us. I think that they're still the little brother. I still think that there is a mental block there with just still the carryovers. But they are close to doing something good. They got a lot of talent, Cookie. When you have a lot of talent, if you can just match that up with some good coaching and some solid consistency, right? You can't turn the coaching staff year in and year out, but if they can keep Freddie Kitchens there for a few years and keep that consistency going and the solidarity, they can do something. They can make some noise in the NFL, I believe.
You talk about talent. Myles Garrett, I think, is one of the best defensive players in the league. I don't know if you would agree. Did you happen to see him doing box jumps with 40-pound weights in each arm?
Yeah.
Doing box jumps. Can you talk about how hard that is, the explosion in your legs that takes?
Well, I'm a cookie. You and I were doing that last week with 50-pound dumbbells, so there's not much to talk about.
It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. I mean, he is literally he is one of the top pass rushers in the NFL, and he will continue to get better and better. He's going to be a nightmare for a lot of tackles off the edge. You know, they're going to have their hands full, and it's going to be quarterbacks playing the Browns are going to have a sleepless night the night before they play him because of him. So that's what I'm saying, Cook. They got a lot of talent, and they brought in some good players. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all comes together. But I still think these Steelers, and they are focused, and they're coming together, are going to do a good job against them.
Chris, we enjoy it as always. We'll look forward to your work on KDK TV2. And Joe and I are really looking forward to every Thursday you coming in, 11 o'clock in the studio. Hopefully we'll do it the week before the first game. We're really looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, Chris Hoke.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.